What's up, guys? It's Jesse from Planting Spear. Literally just got home from day one of ACC Media Days as things wrapped up in Charlotte. And it was a pretty eventful day. Highly anticipated, I think. One of the more anticipated football kickoff events for the ACC. Of course, we know this is the first one since all the legal stuff between Florida State, Clemson, and the ACC took place. We also got to speak with Mike Norvell, Darius Washington, Pat Payton, and Josh Farmer. So it's been a long day, but I wanted to sit down and share some thoughts and takeaways from day one with you guys, as I'll be back up there tomorrow. And this is about, you know, this is the time I have to do it. So let's just jump right in. Obviously, things started off with a spicier Jim Phillips than we have seen in some time, or really, you know, kind of took more of a direct tone on this than we had seen in the past. But I first want to say that it started out in kind of an interesting fashion. They normally play a video ahead of getting things going, and it was one of those where this is the football kickoff. This is not the ACC celebration, and yet the video was mostly swimming and lacrosse and volleyball and all this highlights and about the championships and the successes that they have. And that's great. I mean, we value those sports too. That's not to take anything away from what those athletes achieved. But this is a football event, and you're talking about, you're touting non-football success. So true, you know, kind of keeping things in true ACC fashion. I also found it interesting that they played a little hype video, or whatever you want to call it, for the upcoming football season. And I counted, there was two clips of the reigning ACC champion, Florida State, and about maybe three or four tops for Clemson as well. And there was quite a few clips of the incoming ACC members who have not played an ACC game yet. So maybe a little bit of shade being thrown by the conference there. But there was a lot to be said by Jim Phillips. And I think there were some good things, some bad things. You know, as far as the lawsuits go, there was a few shots that he felt like he took at Florida State and Clemson. You know, on the good side of things, he talked a lot about revenue, how the conference eclipsed $700 million in revenue for the first time in history. They had a 14% payout over the previous year for the per school distributions, which averaged $45 million. And while all that is great, you know, they're number three in revenue in of the Power Four or whatnot, it's a distant third. I mean, it's fine to be third if it's a close gap, but it's not. I mean, we talked about this on a realignment episode just recently. It's a $20, $30, $40 million gap that's only going to get worse going in the future. And, you know, in the words of the famed Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you last. And we may not be last, but we're a distant third, and we're getting lapped by the first two. So, you know, that they've done some things, and he talked about how they have some ideas to generate different revenue. And you know, they even talked about the contract coming up, the renewal with ESPN, because there has been some rumors where if Florida State and Clemson were to leave the ACC, that ESPN wouldn't pick up that extension in February of 2025. And he was very confident that that relationship was not going anywhere. And of course, this comes off the heels of Pete Thamel of ESPN putting out this morning, prior to ACC days, media days getting underway, that Florida State and Clemson do not intend to announce their intentions to leave the conference in the following year, which has to be made by August 15th of this year, which is only about 2 weeks away. Now, I know a lot of us wanted to be out of the ACC yesterday, but we knew this was going to be a lengthy process when we got into it. I mean, this is a long legal battle with hundreds of millions of dollars at stake. And so, you know, we knew this was going to take a while to play out. So it looks like we're going to be hanging around for a little bit longer anyway until we can figure this thing out. But yeah, I mean, there were some good things to be said. I think one of the things I found interesting here was the performance initiatives. And I think originally we had heard somewhere like around about 10 million extra to maybe 15 could be made by the programs that have success on the field, and that those, it's not guaranteed to be successful. The more you invest in your sports programs, but the ones who make the investments to be successful have that opportunity to earn more money. And he said it would be somewhere in the 20 to 25 million range. So that's a pretty big bump. That's going to help out a lot for teams like Florida State. You know, if they can have another successful season, you're still a sizable amount back in third place, regardless of the bumps. But I do think it could help. It's something that it's the first time the ACC has ever had any kind of form of unequal revenue distribution. But again, you know, we know that there are a few teams like Florida State and Clemson that invest heavily in their programs, and they have the success to, you know, because of that. Whereas you have these other teams, you know, like a Wake or whoever, who don't invest the same kind of money, but collect the same check. And so I think the success initiative, you know, it's a little bit of a help. You know, it's not going to bridge a $40, $50 million gap, but it could be at least a little bit of help for Florida State to have another good season. So that was interesting to hear as well. And, you know, just some of the ideas that they have to generate more revenue. I mean, they're you know, I'm not going to say that they're not doing what they can. It's just they're so far behind that it's probably not going to be enough. But I will say that, you know, let's get to the part that everybody wants to hear. And I will say that this was, again, a highly anticipated thing, because I was here last year and I don't remember the room being that full for Commissioner Phillips's commissioner, you know, for his forum. It was packed in there. I mean, it was full to the brim. And so I think everyone was just really waiting to hear what he said. You know, last year we got the gated community speech, kind of a real word salad approach, real soft touch with what he said. But this year, I mean, he went through his whole spiel and everything. And I think he knew that there was the elephant in the room that was going to be addressed through questions. So he just kind of went ahead and went right at it. I feel like he took a few shots at the two programs. And I'll just read you some of the quotes that I have right here in front of me, where Phillips said, "As I turn my attention to the year ahead, I must directly address the ongoing disputes with two of our members about the contracts that they each signed twice and whether they will honor those agreements. Of course, we know he can't talk about everything, being that's a legal battle, but he did say that I can state that we will fight to protect the ACC, our members for as long as it takes." So it sounds like they're going to be in this legal battle for the long haul. You know, we kind of hoped that we would get to that discovery phase and then maybe there would be a settlement. Maybe not. I mean, maybe they're just going to fight this thing until a judge has to make a final, a judgment on it or whatnot. And so he did say that these disputes continue to be extremely damaging, disruptive, and incredibly harmful to the league, as well as overshadowing our student athletes and the incredible successes taking place on the field and within the conference. Now, you could also argue that, I mean, frankly, being in the ACC, it's a little bit damaging and disruptive and harmful to Florida State and Clemson. So I guess you could look at that in two different ways. But I thought those comments were pretty interesting. And on top of that, he went on to say that, you know, people are passionate about sports and sports can lead to personal attacks. And then he went into defending former ACC Commissioner John Swofford. And obviously Florida State was the one who made those remarks. So again, that was a shot at Florida State, which, you know, he said he was an honorable man who led the conference for two decades and all that. Florida State never came out and said the guy was like a piece of trash human being. No one ever said that. But the legal process exposed the Raycom Sports thing and the ineptitude of the deals that cost the ACC, you know, where they didn't get paid fairly for their lower tier media rights and things like that. And it ended up costing them money. So, you know, it was kind of like telling half the story. You know, you took up for him, but also you know, maybe you didn't say, okay, well, there were some things that weren't great. You know, you only told half the story. So I thought that was interesting. And he talked about how, they willingly sign these things and the conference is no bigger or is not bigger than any one team and stuff like that. You know, and like I said, he took a very direct approach. He was asked about that. And, you know, he said basically kind of desperate times call for desperate measures. It wasn't desperate, but it was more like a time of this weight calls for a weighty response and things like that. And I really think for us as Florida State people, fans and media and whatnot, you know, we kind of scratch our head and say, well, where was this Jim Phillips during the CFP debacle? And, you know, where was this when the 12-team playoff was negotiated and we took $8 million less and stuff like that? So, that was really interesting to kind of hear that come out. But I knew it was going to come out. You knew that was going to dominate the headlines of day one. But, you know, there was more to talk about than that. So I really wanted to share some thoughts on that and what the ACC commissioner had to say. Realistically, I expected a lot of that because, again, this is a fight to the death for them, because if they lose Florida State and Clemson, the future of the ACC is uncertain, at least in its form. That doesn't mean the ACC is going to go away, but if you lose your top two brands and something happens, you know, maybe with that ESPN contract, maybe they sign it or they do sign the extension. But without that, I mean, the ACC will be a shell of itself. So, you know, I understand they're doing what's best for the ACC, and that's their job, frankly. It is what it is. It's not a surprise. I think in the same in the same light, you can argue that, well, Florida State and Clemson are doing what's best for them. So, you know, they can make the comments all they want about, you know, doing what's best for their members. Well, Florida State and Clemson are there to do what's best for them. They're not there to do what's best for the ACC. So with that being said, we're just going to have to wait for this legal process to play out. But it sounds like we're going to be in the ACC for at least a little bit longer. And, you know, I mean, we're still doing fine. You know, we'll make the most of it while we can. You know, hopefully the conference is actually semi-decent this year, because we've talked about this before. There's a lot of teams that I feel are going to be good this year. And that was a narrative that actually came up too, about how, you know, Georgia Tech's coach spoke on the fact that there's this notion that the ACC isn't some great conference, or, you know, or not a football conference or something like that. And I mean, it's frankly, it is, because it's really only two teams that carry the weight. You know, Georgia Tech hasn't really carried that weight. But this could be a good year for the conference. And I do want to say, before we turn our focus to what FSU had to say, it was funny that one of the things they touted, it's even on a banner in the lobby of the hotel where the event's being attended, that they have the toughest non-conference schedule or something like that. And look, it's not that it's untrue. I mean, we even did an episode on what is strength of schedule, where the ACC did play one of the toughest non-conference schedules last year. But, you know, what does that say about your conference when you're not saying you play the toughest conference schedule? You're playing your claim to fame is you're playing the toughest non-conference schedule. So just a kind of interesting choice of words there to say that. I mean, yeah, good for you for playing the tough out-of-conference schedule, but, you know, maybe those other conferences are like, well, we don't need to do that because we're playing the toughest conference schedule. So interesting choice of words there. But, you know, I know, with saying these things, I know there's a lot of you guys, myself included, where it's like, look, realignment and the lawsuit and all that stuff, it's all fine and dandy. It's tiring. It's exhausting to talk about. And I just want to talk about 2024 football, because we are a month away from kickoff. So with all that in the books, I mean, we can't not talk about it, because it was really the main story of day one of ACC Media Days. We got a chance to talk to Mike Norvell and the Florida State players that attended as well. So I want to talk about that coming up next, because, again, we are only a month away from kickoff. So a lot to talk about there. Overall positive sentiment from Mike Norvell. I think he's really excited about this upcoming season. I think he really likes what he has in this team. He knows he's got talent. He knows he's got a good team. You know, we heard even, I think it was Josh Farmer said, looking back to last year and the things that happened, that they're pissed off. And so I think that, you know, this is really going to be a year of kind of retribution, a year of trying to set the record straight from last year. You know, we've seen and heard a lot from this team about just going through the work and you know, not really saying a whole lot, letting the work do the talk for them. And I think that was, you know, kind of evident in some of the things that we heard today. You know, I really liked the response I got from Pat Payton when I said, you know, hey, you're one of the, you know, you got overshadowed at times by Jared Verse on the other side of you, but you were one of the, you know, best defensive ends in the country last year when it comes to havoc rate and things like that. And, you know, how do you get better going into next year? And he said that, look, man, it's an opportunity. You just have to take every opportunity to get better and maximize it. And that's not just practice. That's in the film room, in the nutrition side of things, in the weight room and all that type of stuff. And so I really just think this team is focused on working and getting better. I asked Josh Farmer about the rotation of the defensive line and how it helped them stay fresh. And he said that it really did make a difference. And, you know, they have a deep enough defensive line to do that, you know, hopefully going forward, to where you can overpower people late in the game. Mike Norvell talked about a lot of the guys that they came in, that they got, and the additions of things, and how this defense is still deep. You know, they lost a lot of big pieces, but it's still a deep defense. When you look at the guys like Marvin Jones Jr. that came in, Cam Riley at linebacker, Sione, and a lot of these guys that came in, he talked about the depth that they have. And so to get to some of the things that we talked about in the breakout interview, which I'll be posting that video on the channel for you guys, so you can check out the whole conversation that we had. I was able to ask Norvell multiple questions myself, which was, you know, it's a super cool experience. I mean, you know, most of you guys know my story behind doing this, you know, just kind of a fan chasing a dream and things like that, and really trying to put in the work for you guys to bring you some good coverage. But, man, it's a really super cool experience. I mean, to be able to speak with Norvell and get some insights into the program. So I want to cover some of the things that he said in the breakout interview here real quick. So there was of course, there was talk about the whole thing, you know, with the lawsuits. And Mike Norvell was pretty much like, look, you just compartmentalize that, control the controllables. That doesn't affect anything on the field. So that was kind of put the rest there. They talked about the end of last year and how things went in the Orange Bowl and you know, the way things ended. And, you know, really, he just said, look, I mean, it is what it is. You can't do anything about it now. Obviously, it didn't work out the way that they wanted, but there were still some opportunities in that, you know, with the extra bowl practices and the game they got to play, where guys who didn't typically get to play, they at least got a chance to get some experience and to grow. And you know, he talked about Brock Glenn, how you saw the way he grew from the ACC title game to the Orange Bowl, you know, and he even said, like, look, the experience wasn't good, but it was still experience. And so they had a chance to grow through there. You know, I think one of the funnier comments of the day that got a good laugh from everybody was somebody asked about, you know, how did it feel knowing that everybody in the country knew you deserved to be in? And he said, well, I don't think everybody thought that, which was pretty funny because obviously the ones that needed to think that were the only ones that didn't. So I thought that was pretty funny. But getting into, you know, even looking at that game in Ireland, one of the things that I think was interesting that I kind of wondered myself was how you deal with the travel going all the way over there. And, you know, how do you give the players the time to enjoy the experience? Cause it's a unique experience that a lot of them don't get to have. And there was a lot of questions about Ireland and how excited they were for that. But you also have to balance the business at hand. And he said that they're going to lean on some guys on the staff who have dealt with, you know, like NFL games in Europe and things like that, that have had the international travel. Cause you got a lot of jet lag. That's a long flight and things like that. So it sounds like they have a pretty good game plan in place for managing that. And of course, we know they have to get back to Tallahassee. That's why they went on day one, because they open up camp this week because they have that week zero game. So they have to get back to work early. And they just wrapped up summer workouts, which is something that I even asked about with the strength and conditioning staff, how we've seen in the, you know, especially last year on display, where this team has gotten bigger and stronger and they've been able to overpower teams. And, you know, what just speak about the job that Coach Storms and his crew have done. And he said that, you know, they've done an excellent job. He's been with them for, I believe, 9 years now. He thinks they're, you know, the best strength and conditioning staff in the country. But it's not just the physical toughness that they develop. It's the mental toughness as well. You know, the things they put them through in the tour of duty and through the summer workouts. So I think that's big, too, because, you know, he talked a lot about that 2023 team and how that team will always be remembered. And that team will also be remembered for the repeated times they had to overcome adversity and they rose to the challenge. And I think a lot of that has to do with what they put them through in the summer and the tour duty and things like that. So I thought that was a pretty cool tip to hear him say. I also did say that I think you have the most intimidating looking strength and conditioning staff in the country because, you know, all those guys are massive. And he said that, hey, look, they're my bodyguards. And I was like, well, that was a good choice because I would not mess with you with those guys around. And so some of the other things that we talked about was on the offensive side of things. Of course, DJ, you came up frequently. I asked him myself about, you know, Florida State, one of their keys to success over the past two seasons has been Jordan Travis's play at quarterback as a veteran guy. And you know, now they were able to go out and get a guy with 40 power five starts. And what does that mean for this offense? What does that mean not only for the offense, but as a mentor for the young, talented guys behind him and Brock and Luke and Trevor Jackson? And, you know, I thought he had some interesting comments that I really like that speak to the culture that you see at Florida State as far as the mentorship to start with. He said, you know, a lot of times you'll have guys that compete against each other, but this is more of a situation where these guys compete with each other. And so it's not an individualistic room. It's not a selfish room. These guys are there to make each other better. They're there to push each other. But it's not like they're against each other. And so I thought that was a pretty interesting insight. And I love that because, you know, these are the guys of the future who just need a little bit more time to develop. You know, Brock has dealt with some injury last year and this year in camp as well, Luca as well. So yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be huge to have DJ help mentor them. And getting into DJ, I mean, he said that he loves his approach, the way he's come in with humility and has been putting in the work, you know, and leading by example. He said that because of that, whenever there is a time to speak, guys listen because they respect him for a guy who's played in 40 games, a guy who has all this experience, a guy who's been there and kind of done that. And, you know, I think what was very interesting that Mike Norvell said, as far as the experience is, like, look, you can't replicate experience. That can only happen by playing in games. And so it is huge to have a guy that has that much experience. But he also likes that it's not been all good experience, because it, that, you know, kind of makes you humble and wanting to work. And he knows that he has to get better in certain areas. You know, he said that he's been elite in big situations before, and he's also had to pick himself up off the mat. And so I thought that was some interesting comments there. Of course, we talked a little bit about him having to learn the new system, which Mike Norvell equated to learning like a third language. Of course, he picked up things at Oregon State well, but they like the progress that he's made throughout the spring. He's shown, you know, great growth since he's been there and picking things up pretty quick. He's also been good with his leadership since he's arrived in Tallahassee. So that's, you know, that's encouraging to hear as well. We know he just actually declined, you know, we talked about this before, going to ACC Media Days to allow the other members from the team to go that were part of that 2023 ACC Championship team. So I think it's one of those real kind of like quiet leader type of guys, leads by example. And I really like what you're hearing about DJU so far. So he was actually even questioned about his accuracy and how that's kind of been a problem. And so, you know, over his career, and Mike Norvell said that, look, even though he's a veteran guy, he's shown consistency throughout camp. You know, they're working on the little things and trying to improve that. But, you know, he's a mature, genuine guy, and he knows what's ahead of him, and he knows that he's got to work and get better, and he's really putting in the work to do that. He elevates the guys around him, you know, and so I think there's a lot of encouraging talk about DJU this year. We know we've already heard they said that he was ahead of schedule. There was a question about how he's going to fit into the run game. And, you know, Mike Norvell said that, look, we're interested in what he can do in the pocket more than anything, but you can't ignore the film from the past. You know, he's a big guy. You know, he's hard to bring down. You know, he's ran the ball successfully, you know, in his time at Clemson, particularly where he ran the ball over 100 times in one of his seasons. And so they're going to look at how things look in camp and see how they can work that into the offense. So, you know, we all know that there's going to be a packages for DJ to run the ball. And I bring that up because he was asked about the run game and how DJ fits into that. And so talking about that run game, he does like the backs that he has. Of course, I mean, of course, it's Coach Speak. He's going to tell you he likes everybody. That's going to be every coach at every one of these events. But he talked about how this running back room is deep and dynamic in their variety of skill sets, which he really likes. And that's something we've talked about as well. But he said that it starts up front with that offensive line and the tight ends. He mentioned the tight ends too. And so, like, talking about the offensive line, he said that they have a lot of competition in that group because of the depth that they have. And, you know, that's a good thing, because we know that the competition breeds excellence. And so I think that's going to be really good going into camp, because, you know, it's like he pointed out, he said that over the course of a 13, 14, 15 game season, hopefully if you make it that far, the guys get beat up. And we saw that last year, you know, where guys had to rotate or play hurt or stuff like that. So if you can have that sixth, seventh, eighth guy without a big drop off, that's going to pay dividends going throughout the course of the whole season. Maybe you can give some guys some time to rest and things like that. When asked about being cross-trained, he said that, look, we like guys who are versatile. And, I mean, you brought the Swiss Army knife for the offensive line with you to ACC Media Days in Darius Washington, a guy that's played literally every position on the offensive line. But he did say, with the depth that you have now this year, they really want to focus on getting guys in the position to maximize their skill set and where they excel the most. You know, if you have a guy who projects as a tackle, you want him as a tackle. You don't want him to have to play guard. And so I think, you know, he talked about some of the things going into fall camp that's what they're going to figure out now, is they know they got good guys to work with, but they need to figure out where guys perform best and get them to that position and working. And so, again, we know this is going to be a good offensive line group. You know, I asked Darius about that when he had his turn at the mic, and he said, look, you know, we brought in some good guys. We brought back some good guys, and, you know, we're really all just working to, you know, to really put things together this year. So I'm really excited about this offensive line, and, you know, it's come a long way since they took things over. Speaking of the tight end, there was actually multiple questions about Kyle Morlock. And you know, Mike Norvell talked about how, you know, he really didn't get a lot of the spotlight last year, but that he did make a solid impact. And he said, look, I know coming from D2 to Power 4, there's an adjustment. And he said, I think another year at Power 4 level is going to be really good for him. He said that over this offseason that he's really worked on developing himself physically, which should help in his blocking. And that's something that, you know, we know that they haven't had a great blocking tight end in a little while. And so if you could get that out of Kyle Moore, like, you know, he's kind of had that longer, slimmer frame. So, you know, if that's something he worked on in the offseason, I think that's going to be really good for Florida State to have someone who can block. Of course, we know Jackson West is kind of projected to be their blocker, more of their blocking tight end. And he also said that he, you know, Moorlach has worked a little bit on his, you know, improving his pass catching skills too. We know he had some drops last year and stuff like that. So he's expecting a big year from him. Also spoke to, you know, being a little bit more of a veteran guy now about the leadership that he has and how he's helped those young guys in the room, you know, with Landon Thomas and Jackson West and the guys who are going to have to play this year. They're going to have to be part of the offense. So he has helped those guys, mentor those guys as well, which is great. You just want to see these older veteran guys help bring these younger guys up. And it sounds like that's been the case so far. Now, I did ask him about the wide receivers because, you know, we've heard a lot about the speed that this group has this year. And I know it's one of the groups that the jury's kind of out on. You know, we think they can be good, but we're a little worried about them. It's the one position group that we're not sure about. But I asked about the speed because, you know, last year you had Johnny Wilson, big receiver. You had Keon Coleman, who was the guy who was, you know, had the size, a physical guy, not the fastest guy. But this year they have that speed, and that's going to be something that could change the game. And I'll be honest, Mike Norvell kind of lit up a little bit when I asked him about it. You could tell he was a little bit excited about this group. And, you know, he said that this is one of the groups that he really is excited about. And he said that between that and the speed and how they mesh with DJ, that he thinks it has a chance to give them big play opportunities. And that's something that, you know, we saw even when they had Pokey Wilson here, a guy who could take the top off the defense with his speed. And so he's really excited about that. And he said that as well, you know, whatever happens with this group, it won't be for a lack of talent. And so he, you know, with Jaylen Brown and Malik Benson and Portier and all these guys and Ja'Kai Douglas, of course, we know that Destin Hill is out, but he's really excited about the talent in this group. And now it's just got to translate to the field. So that's good news because, you know, again, like I said, the receivers are the one group that the jury's been out on a little bit. And it's just really, we've never questioned the talent as much as we have. We just don't have a lot of proven guys there. And I actually asked him about that. And I thought that he had a really interesting comment when I brought this up, because I said, you know, last year you knew what you were going to get because you had a lot of guys who were coming back that had a lot of experience. You knew what they were on the field. But this year, technically on paper, you have a more talented team just with less experience. And you know, one of the things that he said was like, look, just because our top producers all got drafted last year and, you know, maybe on paper you don't return a lot of starters, that doesn't mean there's not experience. You know, he cited guys like DJ Lundy, who's played a lot since he was a freshman, Azaria Thomas, who we know played a lot as a freshman, and you lived through some of the growing pains of that. But he said, look, these are guys that have played a lot. And they just haven't been starters, but now it's their turn to step into those starter roles. So that's exciting. And of course, we know not all the experience has come at Florida State, but you know, like again, a Cam Riley, he played a lot at Auburn. You have Malik Benson, who played a fair amount, you know, there at Alabama last year. So I think you do have guys that maybe don't have the starts under their belt, but they do have the snaps under their belt. And so I think that is, you know, it's just an interesting thing to hear him say. And I think it does make you feel kind of good about what you got at that position now that you think about it like that. And that goes for all the positions, really. He talked about two defensive guys and he even said that, you know, AZ Thomas, which, you know, I'm going to echo this because we've said the same thing. He thinks he can be a first round draft pick. And I think he will too. So some of the other highlights that we talked about was in-helmet communications. Says he thinks that is going to be a benefit this year. Obviously, you don't want to overwhelm a guy with too much information, so you want to give them tips, you know, maybe some things that you're seeing, some play calls, but you want them to be able to think and adjust their own game as well. And then let's see, just to kind of wrap things up, I'm looking through some of the notes that I have here. Continuity on the coaching staff has been big for them to help them get everybody ready for this season and be on the same page. So I think that's good as well. And so I also, the last thing I asked about special teams, because, you know, it's a big part of that third phase. It's a big part of college football and, you know, of the game. And we should have some good special teams this year. And that's something that has been a trait of Norvell teams in the past. And, you know, when I talked about Master Mono and Fitzgerald, and really I was trying to get into asking about Jalen Lucas, because that's a guy I'm really, really excited to see play this year. I think he's going to be one of the X factors on this team, both on offense and on special teams. And, you know, Mike Norvell came out and said, he's like, look, I think Alex Master Mono can be the best, you know, the best punter in the country. And he's an absolute weapon. He flips the field when he gets the opportunity. And so, I mean, that's going to be huge there. He talked about Ryan Fitzgerald and the consistency that we saw him develop last year in a frankly a big rebound year after struggling the year before. And, you know, he said, like, look, I know you asked about Jalen Lucas, and I think he's going to be a dynamic guy for us, but, you know, there's a lot of guys that this is their chance to get to maximize an opportunity. And he pointed out Deuce Spann. You know, he said this is the guy, you know, comes in as a wide receiver, didn't quite get the opportunity to do that last year, but he made his impact felt on special teams, cited a big kickoff that he had last year. So, you know, I think special teams is going to be big for them this year. You know, like I said, Mike Norvell's had good special teams in the past. And we know that, you know, if you're trying to win championships, there might be a close game where special teams is the difference maker. You know, I mean, look at our national championship in 2013. It was a huge difference maker for us. So I'm excited to see what they do in the third phase as well. So that is really about the most. I'm just kind of scanning through some notes here. That's really about the most interesting talking points that we had. I just wanted to sit down and give you guys some thoughts on what we took away from day one of ACC Media Days and getting to talk with Florida State coaches and players. Like I said, just an overall positive message coming up this season. You know, I think it's going to be a season of a little bit of retribution for this team. I think they want to set that record straight. You know, again, we heard Josh Farmer go at the mic and say, look, you know, we're a little pissed off about last year, and they really want to set things right. You know, I know things didn't go the way they wanted in the CFP, and then the Orange Bowl on top of that. And I think, you know, they're not really going to acknowledge the noise, but they hear the noise and they know. And so that's why I think this team is kind of in a say less type of mode now, where it's like, look, we don't need to do talking. We just need to go to work, and we'll let our play on the field talk for us. So, you know, camp starts this week. So I'm really excited to really turn our focus to this 2024 season. I mean, you got the big game coming up with Georgia Tech and Ireland to kick off just over a month away. So we're going to turn our focus to that as well. I'm going to be back in Charlotte for the next three more days of the ACC kickoff, kind of getting a chance to talk with the coaches, the players, and the other media members from around the conference of the teams that we play, to kind of get some insights into the season as we get ready to start dropping our preseason content for you guys. So make sure you check back for that. We're about to be, like I said, unloading a lot of game previews and position group previews and all that stuff once ACC Media Days conclude. So with that being said, guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Great day in Charlotte. Really appreciate it. Thank you guys for watching. Drop a like and subscribe if you watched this long. Thank you for all your support. I mean, most of you guys know our story here at Plant the Spear. And, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, this wouldn't be possible. So I really appreciate the support, and just really had a great time today in Charlotte. So looking forward to the next couple of days. But with that being said, guys, thank you for watching. As always, go Noles.